You may notice that as Catholics, our churches are still decorated for Christmas, and it's not because we're lazy and haven't taken down our decorations yet, but because we're still celebrating the Christmas season. The 12 days of Christmas, if you know where they come from, is actually from our Catholic tradition of celebrating Christmas for quite some time, beginning on Christmas Eve. And we end that celebration today with what is called the Epiphany, or the revelation of Jesus to the world. And we celebrate that through the revelation of him to the wise men, who many of you are familiar with and who you'll see hanging out over here on the east side of the sanctuary. Outside, I think they're still stuck in the corner by the church, probably trying to keep warm. I half expected some of our middle school boys to go and put them in the middle of the street with traffic cones around them. Please don't do that. We learn from the journey that these wise men make about what a spiritual journey means in our own life. You see, there are three steps to the journey that they make, which we must also make if we want to encounter God. And the first is letting God encounter us in our work. You see, we often think of work and church as two separate places, and I know for many of you, your experience of work and church are two very different experiences. In fact, some of your workmates you might not want to bring to church sometimes. But it is exactly in work, in the scriptures, that God calls people. Look at Moses. He's out tending sheep when God calls. Peter, he's cleaning nets after a night of fishing when God calls. Matthew, he's at the tax collector's table collecting taxes when God calls. And these wise men who were astrologers, that's where the word magi comes from, were studying the stars when God calls, doing exactly what their job required them to do. I visited with many of you in the parish. I think particularly our men have shared that it is exactly in your work, in the workplace, where your faith often gets challenged. I remember growing up from the ages of 14 to 18, I was working in a place where we worked on motor vehicles, the mechanics of them and whatnot. And I remember the tool man would visit regularly, the Snap-on guy, and he would try to peddle his tools to you. And he would also try to peddle a certain type of calendar, which often our fellow employees would post up in the workplace. I remember walking through the workplace one day and seeing that calendar and thinking, that doesn't belong here, and my eyes certainly don't belong on it. And so I wondered what to do. And I know that many of us have felt those challenges in our faith when in the workplace we see behavior that's not becoming of a Christian and really not good for anybody. What do we do about it? And we have to have the courage to speak up to our bosses, to say, I'm sorry, but that's not conducive to our workplace or to my faith, and I just ask that you respect that, and it's okay to say that. I remember when I did that very thing in that same situation. Yeah, the guys razzed me for days to come, you know, made fun of me and did things to, get my goat, as it were, but I knew in my conscience I'd done the right thing. And when you can be at peace with God, suddenly I find many times that other men and women begin to respect you too, because they know deep down their conscience is touched too, and they respect you for having done the right thing. You see, God presents us with opportunities in everyday life, opportunities to show his love, to share his wisdom, to grow in our faith, and to share that faith with others. Brothers and sisters, you cannot be a good Christian if you are not preaching the gospel even in the workplace. And I know that's not popular in our country. That's not popular in our society. But God doesn't care whether it's popular or not. Secondly, we learn through the experience of these wise men that even while God reaches out to us in many times in our work, in our everyday circumstances, he also issues an invitation to go in search of him. What were these wise men given? Were they given a direct line to God or a map that said, here you go, here's how to find Jesus, did they right away know how this Christ child would change their lives? No. They saw God reaching out to them and they went in search of him. You might notice that our wise men, in many churches you'll see the wise men gathered around the child Jesus. And the way we have them here in our church, and I don't know if it's coincidence or not, but is actually much more appropriate. You see, these men saw the star that signaled the birth of Jesus. In other words, their astrology when they saw that star was the birth of Jesus, and then they went in search of him. And scripture scholars say it took about 2 years for the wise men to find Jesus. And so they wouldn't have found him as an infant. They would have found him as a little two-year-old running around the house wreaking havoc. Searching many times does not include the best route or the most direct route. Pastor Michael Davidson once proposed the question, what if these wise men had been wise women? And he proposes this answer, quote, they would have asked directions immediately, and upon commencing their trip, they would have allowed them to arrive on time. They would have helped deliver the baby, cleaned the stable, made a casserole, and brought cute little outfits for the baby Jesus so they could wear them on his trip home. You know, what's interesting here, if you notice about the scripture, is that it says they went to Jerusalem first. It wasn't a direct route to the baby Jesus. They actually went to Herod, who was an evil ruler. Remember, he tried to kill all the babies 2 years and under. And sometimes our experience, our response to God's initiative in our life, it's not always the easiest or the cleanest. We think that if I just start acting like a Christian or I start praying that everything's just going to be hunky-dory right away. But many times God allows us to go through trials specifically so that he can use us to preach his gospel, just as he did using these magi to bring the good news of Jesus Christ to the whole of Jerusalem. Notice in the scripture it says that all of Jerusalem was troubled, not just Herod. Why? Because they were waiting. They were waiting for this Messiah to come. They've been waiting for thousands of years. And so they're a little bit excited and scared at the same time. That finally these magi come and say, yep, he's been born. Oh my gosh, what does that mean? Searching for God is in many ways like searching for the right spouse. You see, just as uniquely as God has made you, God communicates with you. And as uniquely as he communicates with you, your search for him will be unique. Some of you will encounter God through the homily at Mass. Others of you could care less. That's fine. Some of you encounter God deeply in adoration. Some of you encounter God in a good Bible study or a faith-sharing group like we have here at Christ the King. And as many of there are you here today, there are ways of accessing and going in search of God. If you don't find him in one place, keep searching. Lastly, you'll notice that these wise men, after they find him, they leave in a different direction, the gospel says. And brothers and sisters, this should be exactly true of our life too. That when we encounter Jesus Christ, we leave by a different direction. Our journey through life is set off on a different path than the way we came. And this is what we call conversion. Conversion can be both a one-time experience and an ongoing experience. In many Protestant churches, you'll have altar calls where you're invited to come up and to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And that must be done by every Christian. Does it have to be done publicly? Is it only a one-time thing? No. You see, brothers and sisters, we come near to God throughout our lives, and then sometimes we fall away from Him. And then we have to go through that conversion spirit experience again. And even for the Christian who's living a good life, every day should be a conversion experience. Every day you should be asking yourself, have I encountered the Christ child? And am I walking on a different path than I was before? I wonder how many of you, leading up to Christmas through Advent, as we were preparing for Christmas, can look back now that we've finished the Christmas season and say, have our lives changed? You know, have we as a family gone off in a different direction than when we started before Christmas? Am I smoking less? Am I drinking less? Am I watching TV less? Am I praying more? And if our lives really haven't changed, then have we really encountered the Christ child? Have you really had a good Christmas? God encounters you, brothers and sisters, in everyday work, in everyday life. He's reaching out to you, not just here at church. In fact, sometimes more so out in the world. And He invites you to follow a shining light in your own life, just as these wise men did. The hope of something new. Something that can bring salvation to your life, change. And when He reaches out to you, He issues you the same invitation that He's been issuing to men and women for centuries. To seek Him out with all your heart. With extreme resources. It was very expensive for these wise men to take that journey to see Jesus. And it took them a long time. Do you seek out Christ with all that you are, with everything that you have, and for as long as it takes? And when you find Him, to let that encounter move you in a new direction.